As most of you know, I am the defensive coordinator for Logan's middle school football team, and we have a really, really good team. Last year, we did something that had never been done before in Hart County. We won the first ever middle school conference championship in the history of Hart County. It had never been done before. Never been done before. I mean, we were good. We went 15-1, and the one game we lost was to the team that eventually would win the middle school state championship. That was the one game that we wished that we had back to do again. We were really, really good. A bunch of those kids that were eighth graders last year went on to play, you know, this week on Friday night and did a really incredible job. We're so blessed with those kids. I mean, last year we were really, really good. We were a dynamic team. I mean, I'm talking about one play to a touchdown. We run reverses. We run options. We throw deep passes. Exciting team. I mean, we put up yards and points in bunches and bunches and bunches. We were able to score literally in one play most of the time. We were fast. We were flashy. We were exciting. The people in the crowd would cheer and just watch us go, man. It was really something to behold, something really cool to be part of. And so we expected the success of last season to transfer into this season. And so we went out the first game of the season and did the exact same thing that we did last year. We ran reverses. We ran options. We threw swing passes and deep passes. And we tried to score in one play every time. And you know what? We lost. We lost. We lost bad. But I'm here to tell you today that our team this year is just as good as our team was last year. But here's the problem. They're not flashy. They're not dynamic. They don't score in one play. You see, the mistake that we made was to try to use the same strategy that worked last season this season. See, Way Church, the thing is that last season and this season are different seasons. You see where I'm going with this whole thing? When you try to apply what worked last season to this season, a lot of times you're going to fall short. And it's not because you don't have the tools that you need to conquer what you need to conquer in this season. It's just that you're using the same tactics and the same strategies that brought you out of the last season. And those aren't supposed to be applied to this season. You see, the kids that I have this year are just as good as the kids that I have last year, but they're different. See, they're different. See, they're not as fast. They're not as dynamic. They're not as flashy. They're not as exciting. You know what they are? They're tough. They're strong. They're gritty. They're determined. And they're just a little bit mean. Okay, maybe they're a lot of mean. And so the strategy that we use for this season is a lot different than the strategy that we used for last season. See, we don't try to score in one play anymore. We grind, and we grind, and we never stop grinding. See, the thing about football that's different from other sports is it doesn't matter if it takes us one play to score or 20 plays to score. The touchdown is worth the same. You understand what I'm saying? And so what I told my kids the other day is that all we have to do is make it from here, one, two, three, to here. And if they can't stop us from going to here, then they can't beat us. They can't beat us. All we got to do is make it from here to there. And if they can't stop us from making it from here to there, then we are unstoppable. We're unbeatable. There's nothing that they can do to shut us down. Yeah. And if you've seen my kid... Yeah. So what we do is I line up Ashton Milby and Logan Grider, and I give the ball to J.D. Crump or Logan Ward. I run them right between there, and we make it to here. And there's nothing that they can do to stop us from getting to here. Three steps is what we need to win the game. Three steps. And if they can't stop us from going three steps, then they can't beat us. We grind. It's not as exciting to watch from the sidelines. It's not as exciting to watch, you know, on the videos that are made, but it's just as effective, maybe even more effective, because you know what else it does? When we grind those 3 yards out every play, the enemy never gets the ball. Oh, and if the enemy never gets the ball, then guess what? The enemy can't score. And if the enemy can't score, guess what? The enemy can't beat us. And even though it might look boring from the sidelines and from the stands, it doesn't matter because victory still tastes just as sweet. Can you say amen? Our spiritual walk is exactly the same. Some seasons, we're going to see big things happen. Some seasons, we're going to see salvations by the truckload. Some seasons, we're going to baptize 40 people in the river. Some seasons, we're going to see healings and miracles and chains falling off. Some seasons, we're going to see incredible, visible, epic moves of the living God. And we're going to celebrate Him, and it's going to be all super exciting, right? Some seasons, yes. And some seasons are the grind. Some seasons are the grind. Some seasons it's going to be all we can do to take that next step. Some seasons we're not going to see those epic, visible, powerful moves of God. Does that mean that He's any less present? Does that mean He's any less powerful? Does that mean He's any less evident in our lives? No! It's the grind. It's the grind. It means one step for the kingdom of God. It means that, like Brent was saying, man, maybe today I open up and read one verse today. You know, maybe today I'll bow my head and pray for 10 seconds today. Whatever it is, man, I'm grinding. I'm grinding. It's the grind. It's not exciting. It's not flashy. It's not dynamic, but it's effective. It's the grind. It's the grind. But too often we get lost in the grind, don't we? Too often we become a slave to the grind. Too often we lose part of ourselves in the everyday grind of life. But today, my challenge is for us as a body of Christ, for us as a body of believers, to do like we did in our football team. It's a new season. We got to redefine the grind. We got to redefine the grind. We got to stop letting the grind control us, and we got to control the grind. We got to stop letting the grind use us to build itself, and we got to start using our daily grind to build the kingdom of the living God. Can you say amen and give Him some praise this morning? Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word today? We're in the book of Colossians, one of my very favorites. They kind of all are. In chapter 3. And the Bible, in verse 23 and 24, the Bible says this: whatever you do, say whatever you do. Man, that's a lot of stuff, isn't it? Do it from the heart as something done for the Lord. Say for the Lord. Man, knowing that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord. Say from the Lord. You serve the Lord Christ. Say, I serve the Lord Christ. I don't believe you. Say, I serve the Lord Christ. Man, make me believe it. Make Him believe it. Say, I serve the Lord Christ. God, today we serve You. Today we surrender to You, God. Today we lay ourselves down before the altar of Christ. Today I pray that whatever we do it for You. That whatever we receive it from You, God. I pray that today, from the heart, that we're going to redefine the grind. Not to be slaves to it, but to be masters over it and to use it for Your glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's just give Him some praise this morning, can't we? What do you do that you truly enjoy? I mean, what do you do that's like a, not an everyday thing, but it's like a once in a while kind of thing? What do you do, somebody? What do you do that's cool, that's fun, that you really truly enjoy? Huh? Golf? Yeah, sure. Anybody else? What do you do? What do you do, Brent? Nothing. That's his thing. Yeah, nothing. Good. Nothing. What else? What else, Brandon? What do you do, man? Shoot, yes, come on. Andy, fish, come on. Yeah, Stan, what do you do, man? Sleep, come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's good, that's good. We all have those things that we do once in a while, those things that mean something to us, those things that are just kind of a, you know, kind of a, an escape from the rest of the world. You know what the rest of life is? It's the grind. The rest of our life, man, it's the grind. We get up, we go to work, we do the work, we get off work, we pick up the kids, we go home, We eat some dinner. We maybe, if we're lucky, we spend a few minutes with the family. We go to bed so we can do it again. That's the grind. I mean, that's the daily grind. I mean that's what we do. I mean, we do what we have to do to make it to the next day so we can do it again. It's the grind. I mean, we grind it out. And you know what? The grind seems to be in control, doesn't it? I mean, what would happen if we just stopped? I mean, can you just stop? Tim, can you just stop? No, we can't. We can't just stop. We can't. The grind seems to be in control. You know what? That's the way the grind likes it. The grind likes to seem like it's in control. You know, that's what the world likes, is for the grind to be in control. Because, you know, that's how they sell us their stuff. Because we feel like we need it. Because, you know, the grind tells us that we got to go, so we got to buy gas. And the grind tells us that we got to, you know, we got to come home and we got to watch TV. And they do their advertisements and they sell us all the stuff. And the grind likes it like that. You know what? The enemy likes it like that too. Because when we get caught in the grind, we don't live on purpose. You hear what I'm saying? When we get caught in the grind, we don't live on purpose. We don't live with a purpose. We just live to try to survive. And God didn't call us to live to just survive. Man, God called us to live to thrive, not to just survive. God didn't say, hey, here's the world. See if you can scrape by. No, no, no. God said, here's the world. Be fruitful and multiply and have dominion over it. Have dominion over it. Not it has dominion over you. And yet we do whatever we can do to scrape by to the next day. And we get caught in the grind. We get caught in the grind. And sometimes in our life we do thrive, and sometimes there's a really cool event, man. There's a marriage or a child that comes, or a promotion at work, or like a brand new opportunity or some really cool event. Maybe we got to go on a fishing trip, or we went and did a mud run. I don't know. Whatever it was that was cool that we did, you know what I'm saying? And it was a neat event, and we feel like we're thriving. But most days is just the grind. Most days is just the grind. Sometimes it's a different season. Sometimes it's a season where we have to grind. Sometimes it's a season where it's hard, man. It's hard just to take that next step. Sometimes it's hard to get out of bed in the morning, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to make ourselves go to work. You ever pull up in the parking lot and just be like, I don't know if I can do this today? Or you get in there and you grind it out enough to get into work, and then some jerk smarts off to you, man, and it's like, man. Don't know how much more I can take, but you grind. But you grind, and you can grind for a while like that, but it takes its toll on us. You see, you know what happens when something's ground? Parts of it start to fall away. I mean, when you grind something, man, it shrinks, man. Powder falls, man, and parts of it just start to tear off. And it starts to be destroyed. Man, the grind tries to destroy us. Some of those seasons are hard. And like I said, we can't just not grind. We can't just stop. I wish that we could, but we just can't. We're just locked into it. But here's what we can do. We can redefine the grind. We can live on purpose instead of without purpose. We can live with a purpose. Instead of being trapped in the grind, man, we can take control of it. Instead of letting the grind just tear pieces of us off, man, we can be the harder part that's in the grind. And instead of it destroying us, man, we can begin to destroy it. And instead of us getting powderized and blown away by the wind, man, the grind can get powderized and blown away by the wind of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? And, you know, sometimes God meets us right in the middle of our grind. Did you know that? Man, sometimes God shows up right in the middle of our daily grind, and it's incredible what God does in the grind. I mean, what was David doing when Samuel came to anoint him as king of Israel? He was grinding. He was out there in the fields, shepherding the herds. He was grinding. He was. He was doing his work, man. He was out there doing his daily work, man. What was Gideon doing when the angel of the Lord appeared to him and called him to be a mighty, powerful man of God? He was threshing wheat to feed his family. He was literally, he was grinding. He was in his grind when God appeared to him. It's what he was doing. Man, what was Peter and Andrew and James and John, what were they doing when Christ came to them? They were in their grind, sweaty and grimy and smelling like fish guts. Can you say amen? And the Lord came to them right in the middle of their grind, and he literally redefined their grind. He said, y'all been out here grinding with these nets every day, catching these fish and pulling them in. I'm going to redefine your grind. All of a sudden, you're not going to fish for fish anymore. You're going to fish for, come on. I'm redefining your grind. All of a sudden, you're not going to fish for fish. You're going to fish for men. All of a sudden, you're not going to live without a purpose. All of a sudden, you're going to live on purpose. I mean, what was the jailer doing that Peter and Silas, Paul and Silas led to the Lord? Well, what was he doing? He was watching the cells, man. He was taking care of business. He was in his grind. He was in his grind. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of his daily grind, the power of the Holy Spirit came to him through Paul and Silas and their worship. And he was saved, him and his entire household, and they were baptized in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Sometimes the Lord meets us in the middle of our daily grind. I mean, what do we do more than anything else in our life? Yeah, right, we grind, right? I mean, who here works more than they sleep? Who here works more than they play? And who here works more? Who here spends more time with the people at work than they do with their family? We grind. We grind. It's what we do. So if we want to live effectively for the kingdom of God, we're going to have to redefine that grind. We're going to have to stop getting stuck in it. We're going to have to stop letting it define us, and we are going to have to define it. I love Adam's FPU class, man. He talks about let's stop money happen to us, and we're going to happen to our money. We're going to make a budget, and we're going to use the money as the tool that it was meant to be used at, instead of wondering where it was and letting it determine and define and enslave us. Well, during the class, me and Angela took it a step further, and we decided we were going to stop letting time happen to us, and we were going to happen to time. And so we decided to make a time schedule, and we were just going to grab it and make time do what we wanted to do and use those hours and minutes and seconds as a tool like they were meant to be used, as opposed to a master to be worshipped and enslaved by. That's what we have to do with our daily grind. We can't be a slave to the grind. We have to be its master. We have to redefine the grind and use it for the glory of God. We do it more than we do anything else. If we're really going to live for God, then we have to redefine it. We have to redefine it, man. We've got to take the power back. We've got to grind, not to survive, but to thrive. And we've got to do it every day. We've got to do it every day. When we grind from His grace and for His glory. We've got to grind from His grace and for His glory. The scripture says we do this for the Lord. Whatever you do, do it for the Lord. Let me explain to you who we're doing this for. For the King. For the Creator. For the one who loved us when we were unlovable. For the one that created everything that we stand on for us. You know, for those first 6 days, however you portray that, God was grinding, wasn't He? God was grinding. God was putting in work, man. God said, let there be light. You know, God created the, you know, He made the mass take shape out of the nothingness, man. He brought, you know, a sky and a ground, and He brought the sun and the stars and the moon, and He separated all these things, and he brought the plants, and then He brought the fish, and then He brought the birds, and He brought the mammals that would scurry, and then He brought us here to be on earth, man. But the first 6 days, He was grinding. He was grinding. He was putting in work so much that He took a day of rest, man. He was grinding. But it was all for a purpose. It was all for a purpose. Man, God's always grinding, but He has a purpose, man. His grind always has a purpose, and it's not just to make it to the next day. Even when we don't see it, He's working. Even when we don't feel it, He's working. He's grinding every day, but it has a different definition than what ours has. The life of Christ, man. We do this for the Lord. Because of what He did for us. Man, He was grinding every day. When we were in Israel, we walked 72 miles in 9 days. 72 miles we walked in 9 days. That's crazy, isn't it? Think about how far that Jesus walked. Every day He was going from here to there. Every day going from here to there on purpose. every day going from here to there with a mission in mind. Every day getting up, going to Capernaum to heal somebody. Every day getting in the boat, going across the Sea of Galilee to cast out demons. Every day coming back to put the Pharisees in their place. Every day going to the temple to teach the people. Every day going to the house to heal all the sick people in the entire town. Every day going to the fountain beside the thing to heal the lame guy. Every day going to Samaria where he wasn't even supposed to be to meet the woman at the well. Every day saving the woman that was going to be stoned, you know, for the act of adultery. Every day coming toe-to-toe with the Sadducees and putting them in their place too, man. Every day on his mission. Every day his grind for a purpose. Every day working. Every day working. And then what about that last day? What about that last day? That was a grind, wasn't it? Not my will, but your will be done. I'd rather not grind it out this way, Father, but I will. I'd rather not grind it out this way, man. It's going to take its toll, but you know what, Father? I will, because I'm going to live on purpose. I'm going to live on purpose for you. I'm going to live on purpose for you. So he went to the trials, and he was grinding it out. And didn't say nothing. And you know what he could have said? I got 12 legions of angels. Why don't y'all go ahead and take care of this for me? You know he thought about it. He told them, don't you know that I've got 12 legions of angels ready to come put this thing right if I feel like it? You know he thought about it. But he didn't. He grinded it out. He went to the whipping post, man, and they tore the flesh from his body. He was grinding. He was grinding. He was putting in work. They put a crown of thorns on his head and wrapped him in purple robes and beat him with a cane, man. He was grinding. He was doing the work that God had laid before him. It wasn't for no reason. It was on purpose. He was living on purpose, and he was about to die on purpose. He carried the cross up Golgotha's hill, man. 2 miles he walked down the way of sorrows. He was grinding it out. He was grinding it out for you and for me, man. Whatever we do it for him because of what he did first, man. He carried the sins of all mankind up the hill. They nailed him to the cross, man, and he was up there on the cross, bearing the weight of the sin of all of mankind, man. He was grinding it out. He redefined crucifixion, and then he redefined death. And then on the third day, man, he redefined life, because that's who he is, because he's the resurrection and the life, man. He's the hope and the dreams of all mankind. He is everything. He redefined life. He redefined death. He redefined everything. The third piece of that scripture I want to bring out is where it says, from the Lord. We get our rewards from the Lord. Because whatever you do for you, where does the reward come from? Yeah, from you. Whatever Jeremy does for Jeremy, the reward comes from Jeremy. When you do for other people, where does the reward come from? From other people. And that's fine. We work, we get some cash, we get a job, we got some health insurance, whatever, man. We do work for other people, and the reward comes from other people. But oh, wait, church. What about when we do for the Lord? Where does the reward come from? Yeah, from the Lord. And so I might be able to do something for myself, and the reward comes from me, and that's okay. I might feel good for a while. And we might do some stuff for some other people, and the reward comes from them. And that's okay, too, because we do things, and people pay us, and whatever it is, or we do a nice thing for somebody, and they say thank you, and it's cool. But if we do for the Lord, then our reward comes from the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I can't do for me anything close to what the Lord can do for me. And I don't know about you, but can't nobody else on the face of this earth do anything for me that compares to what the Lord can do for me. Because, man, I do for the Lord, I get joy. I do for the Lord, I get peace. I do for the Lord, I get strength. I do for the Lord, I get power. I do for the Lord, I get glory. I do for the Lord, and I get a Holy Spirit fire that burns inside of me that the world can't put out and the enemy's terrified of. And I don't know about you, but I like to go everywhere I can in the power of the Spirit of the living God. Can you say amen? One of my favorite scriptures now, and it just came out during a sermon a few weeks ago, is John 4:14, where it says that Jesus got up and went to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Man, I just want to go everywhere that I go in the power of the Spirit. And when I'm doing it for the Lord, that's how I go. I mean, really, when I'm doing it for the Lord, that's how I go. I go in the power of the Spirit. Because I don't know about you, but I'm getting old and I ain't got much power left. It's true. It's true. I ain't got much power left, but he's got plenty. Man, he's got plenty. You know, there's no greater satisfaction than to serve the kingdom of God. You know that? There's not. And you don't have to be a pastor or a prophet or even be in the church to serve the Lord. Did you know that? There's nothing greater than to serve the kingdom of God. And you can do that anywhere, at any time, in any way. It says whatever you do. That's a lot of stuff. Whatever you do, do it for the Lord. And when you do that, you're doing it for the kingdom of God. Your daily grind can be for the glory of God. And you might only be going from here to here. But if you take one step, if you take one step for the kingdom of God, then we're gaining ground for the kingdom of God. And if you can take one step for the kingdom of God, then we cannot be defeated. We can't be defeated. Man, if our grind becomes for his glory, then the kingdom can't be stopped. And that's what we have to do. We got to redefine the grind. Instead of getting out of bed struggling, we need to get out of bed on purpose. I like that meme that says, I want to be the one that when my feet hit the ground, the devil's like, oh no, they're up. I don't think that's exactly what it says, but man, I want that to be me. I want that to be you. I want us to get up out of bed on purpose. Live for God, man. Let's start our daily grind out in him and through him and for him. Man, I used to hit the snooze button 53 times and then get up struggling, mad, and limp to the bathroom and turn the shower on and take one of them efficient showers that I was arguing with somebody on the internet about the other day. It takes about 3.5 minutes. And then walk back in the bedroom and start yelling at everybody. They used to call me the morning Nazi. So I'm yelling for everybody to get up. Get up. It's time to get up. We've got to go. And I'm yelling at Logan. I'm screaming at him. And he's mad. And Angela's just shaking her head like, gosh. And me and Logan are fighting. And everybody's mad. And we get up and we go. And we get dressed. And we run out the door super late. And that's what our mornings used to look like. And what a way to start the day, right? I mean, what a way to start the day. We started off in a great way, you know. Angela's taking Logan to school, and he's mad. And Angela's like, what's wrong with you? And he's like, Dad. And I'm on my way to work by myself, like, can't believe they won't get up in the morning. And I get to work, and I'm mad. We had to redefine our grind. We had to redefine our grind, man. We couldn't start the day like that anymore. It was wearing on our family. I'm serious. It was wearing on our family starting out like that, because when you start out bad, man, you start out bad. I tell people you got to start fast and finish strong, right? If you start like that, your whole day's messed up, and it sure ain't for the glory of God. And so now we get up different. Now we get up different. I still hit the snooze button about 3 or 4 times. I put it on both my phones, though, so that I have to worry with both my phones. It wakes me up a little bit better. And then I pray first thing when I get up, man. I just pray first thing before I do anything else. I pray. And I just say, Lord God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Use me today. My first thing that I do in the morning, every morning, man, is God, fill me with your Spirit. Use me today for your glory. I pray. And then I go and I get out our Hope for Every Day Billy Graham devotional, and I sit it there on the couch and open it up to the right page. And then I go and wake up my family the nicest that I possibly can. And then I go get in the shower, man, and when I get out of the shower, they're always up, man, and Logan gets in the shower, and Angela goes and feeds big baby Titus, man, and then she fries us up some sausages and cuts up some fruit because we're trying to eat healthy, kind of, sort of, but not really. I'm being honest. We're trying a little. And then we gather together for the breakfast. And then Logan reads from the Billy Graham Hope for Every Day devotional. I love that book, man. I love that book. It's just one little page, man, but we start the day out with it every day. And then we pray as a family. And the whole time we're watching the IHOP prayer room streamed live on the TV. Or we're listening to the Iron Bell worship thing on the TV where they got the lights in the barn. You know the one I'm talking about. I belong to you. We're doing that every morning because we've redefined our grind and it has changed our life. You know, some churches do the 90-day tithe challenge where if you tithe for 90 days and you're not blessed, we'll give you your money back. Well, we're not going to do that. That money done been used for the Lord. We ain't got no money. We use it for God. Here's what I will do. I want to issue you a 2-week redefine your grind challenge. I challenge everybody in here to redefine your grind by getting up on purpose for the Lord in the morning. And you don't have to do it the way we do, but I'm just challenging you to start your morning instead of with aggravation or instead of with some kind of secular worldly nonsense, to start your morning in prayer and in the Word. And I don't care if you just say, Lord, thank you for the morning, and you open your Bible up and you read one little verse. I'm challenging you to start your morning, to redefine your morning grind with Jesus Christ and to start your day out filled with His Holy Spirit and led by His Word every single day. And if you'll do that for 2 weeks and your grind ain't redefined for the glory of God, I'll give you all your money back on this sermon. I'll refund you for this sermon right here. I'll refund you for it. Because it's priceless, right? But that's my challenge to you. Redefine your grind. Start out in the morning. Try to get everybody to do it with you. But if they won't, do it by yourself. Take a stand. Step out on faith. Be the catalyst that starts the change in your family. Be the catalyst that starts the change in your household. Be the catalyst that starts the change amongst your circle of friends. Be the catalyst. Man, start something. Redefine your grind for the Lord. Man, I used to go to work. I used to go to work and just keep my head down and keep my eyes on my work and keep myself to myself and shut my office door and just kind of make it through the day. Just grind it out. Make it through the day. Anybody else do that? Just kind of keep it to yourself and try to grind it out? Yeah, just try to grind it out. Just try to make it till the end of the day, till getting off time so you can go do something else. Just grind it out. But I had to redefine that. I had to redefine that. Now, at my work, every morning, we start with prayer and the Word. Every morning. Hey, we started with 3 or 4 people back in our hallway, back in the back hallway, and it has grown till some days it stretches all the way down to the end of the other hallway. Usually we just read the verse of the day from the YouVersion. It's real simple. And then we just pray that God will bring His glory down, that God will anoint the hands that will serve Him today. We work in healthcare. We just pray that God will anoint these hands that are going to care for those that need care. We pray that God will just use us, those of us that are in administration, to lead well and to serve well. Man, we just pray that His glory will just lead us. You will not believe the kind of difference that it has made in our workplace. It has lifted a cloud. All of a sudden, when crazy stuff happens, we don't freak out. We call out. To the one that can actually do something about it. To the one that can actually do something about it. We don't freak out. We call out. I coach them kids, man. They bless me every day. They challenge me most days, too. But they bless me every day. This last Tuesday. No, I'm sorry. Week before. The week before. Not this last Tuesday, but the one before. We was playing a football game. And we just got done with our pregame workout, our warm-ups. And they came over to the sideline. And the time on the clock was running out. The game was starting. And the referee ran over there and he said, I need a kickoff team right on this field right now. And one of my kids looked at him and he said, Sir, we have to pray first. Because they had their helmets off. They was down on the knee. And the referee was like, and his eyes got about this big around, and he said, all right, well, as soon as y'all get done praying, I need a kickoff team over here. And he walked over, and the other two referees met him on the field. They were like, what's going on? They need a kickoff team. We got to get there. And I heard the referee say, man, them kids said that they got to pray first, so they got to pray. And the other two referees was like, all right, well, as soon as they get done praying, man, tell them to get on out here. And then Logan led us in prayer, man. Come on, it's what we do. They've redefined their grind. They're not going to play. They're not. I don't care what somebody says. They're not going to play until they get to pray. They will not. How many of us have dedication like that? How many of us won't work till we pray? How many of us won't grind till we pray? How many of us won't go into a stressful situation until we pray? How many of us won't drive down the road, which is probably the riskiest thing that we do every day, till we pray? Man, how many of us? How many of us won't do anything till we pray? Man, them kids, they set an example. Man, they start fast. But you know, if we want to redefine our grind, we got to do more than just start fast and finish strong, like I tell people. We have to grind for the glory of God all the way through the middle. We got to grind this thing out, not for ourselves, not for anybody else, but for Christ. For Christ. Whatever you do, say whatever you do. Do it for the Lord. Say for the Lord. And your reward will come from the Lord. Say from the Lord. I serve Christ. Say I serve Christ. You guys have just made a proclamation that goes against everything that this world stands for. You have verbally made a proclamation that goes against the grain of everything that the world that we live in today stands for. And yet here we are, gathered together, not bending our knee before the things of the world, but bending our knee, even in the middle of our grind, for Him and Him alone. Yesterday we had a Emmaus meeting here, and Poison and Corey Allen, my dear friends, were here, and they and Olivia sang with them. They sang a song called Majesty. I'm sure probably all of y'all have heard it, or most of you have. And they were just singing Majesty. Majesty, and I had to speak. I just said, man, we use that term majesty to describe an earthly king. Your majesty. Your majesty. But my question was this: once we have experienced the presence of the living God, once we have seen His majesty, how in the world can we bend our knee before a man? When we have experienced His glory and His presence and the power of His Holy Spirit, how can we bend our knee before the things of the world? And how can we serve the grind? How can we bow before the grind? How can we be a slave to the grind when His glory is available? Man, how can we come underneath the things of the world when He asks us to come to Him and be free? How? Man, the devil is a liar. The grind is a liar. The daily life that we seem trapped in is a lie. Man, we need to be. We need to be like Him. Like Him. Like Him, man. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. And it's like, Jesus, don't you want to do some stuff for yourself? No. No. And Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say. Well, Jesus, don't you have your own opinions that you'd like to put in? No. No. I only do what my Father has me do. I only say what my Father would have me to say. Every minute, every beat of His heart, every breath for God. Wrap me in your arms. Take me to that place and make me like you. Whatever you do, Way Church, whatever you do, do it from your heart as though serving the Lord. And you'll get your reward from the Lord. We serve Him and Him alone. Because that is who we are called to be. We have to redefine our daily grind for the glory of the living God. And some of you are in this room right now, and you're thinking, I can't do that. And you know what? You are absolutely right. You can't. There is no way that you can grind out for the glory of God every day. You can't get up for God. You can't go to work for God. You can't work for God. You can't get off from work for God. You can't pick up your kids for God. You can't go home. You can't clean the house for God. You can't mow the grass for God. You can't cook dinner for God. You can't spend time with the family for God. You can't go to bed and sleep and rest in God. You can't. See, Matthew 19 says, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible.